Good morning, good morning, Monday morning. It's the 3rd of June, 2019, if you don't have a calendar. And you're at Mornings at the Mansion, the men's edition. Hallelujah, Jesus Christ is Lord.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We're getting sanctified.
Come on now.
Amen.
Today is the day the Lord has made.
Come on.
We will rejoice.
Yes.
Woo, you've been watching the lady.
Come on now.
Come on. Here we are. All right, Blog Radio listeners, good morning. Good morning, Facebook. Wow, good morning, Sean Dole, Shawnee Banks of the 11421, Franklin K. Lane High School. Good morning.
Good morning, mother-in-law. My mother-in-law is on.
All right, good morning, mother-in-law.
Woo!
All right.
Good morning, Pastor Rick.
Woo!
Good to see you.
Good morning.
All right.
Good morning.
Good morning, Becky.
Good morning, Angela.
Good morning, Wayne.
Thank you for calling the last week, Angela, to the ladies in the morning. They were blessed by your phone call.
Good morning, Kirsty. It was so good to see you guys yesterday in church.
Hallelujah, Jesus Christ. We're going to get it. Bill Pollard, good morning.
Good morning,
Bill. Welcome to the men's edition. Woo. And all you on live video, Facebook, via Facebook, you see that we're sitting today with Pastor Eric Pesgrove of Crosswalk Church. And we also got Pastor Bobby McCann of Crosswalk Church. Woo! I feel blessed to be sitting here with my mentors. Wow, hallelujah, Jesus Christ. All right. So this morning we're going to dig into something today, which is, I feel is a very important issue with a lot of us, and including it with mine. Good morning, Mike Mullane, 11421, NYPD in the house. We'll be praying with you today. Come on.
Yeah.
And Amanda Fuller, good morning.
All right. Good morning, Amanda.
Here it is.
Good morning, Amanda.
Good morning, Michael. How are you?
Good morning. All right, so in God we trust. We know it's on every back of every dollar bill, $20 bill. In God we trust. But are we truly trusting in God is the question. We say we do, but sometimes our actions dictate different. And we're going to go over today, pastors, and it's a blessing to have both of you here with your experience. Oh, yeah. And wisdom of the word and knowledge of the word of God, because some of our viewers out there today, they're not sure that they're not even trusting in God. Because sometimes you trust in your job, you might be trusting your girlfriend, your mama, you might be trusting in yourself. Mostly, and you got this bunch of scripture here that will demonstrate some of the things. Yeah, we're blessed.
Good morning, Kimberly.
Yes, yeah, good morning. All right.
You know, Eddie, you were saying how important it is that this is an important topic. And you know, the Bible says it's impossible. Impossible to please God without faith, and faith and trust go hand in hand.
Yeah, I'm going to say, what do you think? Synonymous, right? I mean, you can't have one without the other.
Yeah,
when you have faith in somebody, you trust them.
Right.
And when you trust somebody, you don't have faith in them.
Yes.
Like, I had faith that you'd be here this morning.
Thank you, Lord.
I thank you for everything. Come on now.
Morning, Evelyn.
Yeah.
I've got it.
Yeah, that's a whole story in itself. But yeah, all right. So I would ask one of you mighty men of God to say a sin.
Well, Lord, we just thank you for the opportunity to share your word on the air today, Lord. And I thank you for everybody that's watching and listening, Lord. I thank you that you have prepared their hearts, Lord, to receive the word of God today with meekness. And Lord, we just yield ourselves to you. And we ask, Lord, that you use us today and that we say nothing of our own initiative, but only what the Holy Spirit wants to speak in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Lord, Lord, all right.
Woo.
Hallelujah. Yeah, okay. Well, Angel Colleen Kaufman says, seek the kingdom of God first, and that's part of trusting, right?
That's right.
All right, good, yeah. I remember her from by text. That's where it all started.
Hey, Angela. Yeah, I remember her.
Yeah. All right. All right, so let's get started, man. Let's read the scriptures. Bob, would you like to read Jeremiah?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you want to start? I think we should start.
We start at 5?
Oh, yes, sir. Yeah.
Okay, in Jeremiah 17, starting in verse 5, the Bible says, thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes his flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord, for he shall be like a shrub in the desert, and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land which is not inhabited. But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and whose hope is in the Lord, for he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when he comes. Pastor, I'm gonna say this, what you and I were talking about yesterday. It says in the King James, and will not see when heat comes, but its leaf will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease yielding fruit.
Hallelujah.
Wow,
Lord.
Lord.
Man, that is amazing. I'm going to turn this over to Pastor Eric in a second, because here it is. He was talking about the equity in service. But,
yes.
But here it is. Cursed is the man who trusts in man. But then it says over here, blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord. So we're going to distinguish two differences of a man who trusts in the Lord and a one that doesn't trust in the Lord. He trusts in himself or his bank account or his mom or his wife or something.
Come on,
man. But yeah. What is it about putting your heart? Because
yesterday the whole message that the Lord had given me for the church is that we've got to get out of this mindset that He wants us in the wilderness. I think a lot of times we will use that as an excuse not to get out of the wilderness. And you know, I think that when Jesus came and He spent time in the wilderness, He did that so we don't have to be in the wilderness. I mean, He already went before us and prepared the way, and so. This scripture right here is a prophecy of that. You know, He came so that we could trust in Him and have faith in Him and not have put our faith in man. If you think back to the beginning, the whole time that the children of Israel were in the wilderness, or even when they came out of the wilderness into the promised land, they always wanted to put their trust in theirself or in their situation. Or they put their trust in those that, this is what the Lord showed me. We put our trust in things that can do something for us or to us. Well, God has already done something for us.
Yeah.
Now we need to let Him be to us everything that Jesus paid for. And so it's really simple when we get down to the point that if we just trust in the finished work of the cross,
woo!
We will walk in freedom.
Woo!
And we will be exactly what Jeremiah said we could be. We will be like a tree planted by the waters. You remember Jesus said, either make the tree good or make the tree bad. But He said something there that I thought was really interesting. He said, make the eye single. You know, if you go back and look at all that, there's got to be a singleness of mind. And we can't go from one mind to the other mind. The Bible says that if we're like that, we're like a man tossed to and from on the sea. And so I just want to share a little bit what the Bible says about that single-mindedness real quick, and then I'll turn it back over to Eddie.
Oh,
but in Psalms 86:11, it says, teach me your way, O Lord. And God said that we should learn from Jesus, that we should learn of Jesus. But He said, teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. It's falsehood. It's the lies of the enemy that get us to trusting in man. And so when we walk in truth, and then He goes on and says right here, He says, unite my heart to fear your name. And what that really says, if you break it down, is give me singleness of heart. Let my heart be solely trusting in you where I don't have to trust in man anymore. I heard somebody say one time that if you trust in man, the best of man is the best you'll ever get.
Oh,
and the Bible says that the best of man, that the worst of God is better than the best of man.
Yes,
so I would much rather have that than I would the best of man.
Woo! Well, Pastor, you preached a sermon one time, and it was looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and something stirred up in my spirit when we were preaching that. So I went and studied it, and looking unto means to look away from something so as to look at something else.
No, that's good.
And so when we look away from our circumstances and look at Jesus, when we look away from sickness and disease and look at Jesus, when we look away from addiction, look away from sin, look away from whatever it is and look unto Jesus, that's when we have that single, that single-minded, that single heart, single eye, you know, when we look to Him.
That's it.
Thank you. Amen. And that comes with as you walk with the Lord, we become to trust Him more. And then we start letting things break off of us, the things, the little things we trust, we don't trust in it. But, and again, it's something we got to get through a relationship with God. And I think you said once before, Bob, unless you know God, how can you do it? I know you guys, so I trust you guys, right? Because I trust you to help me. I trust Him all over because I know Him. I trust Him all because I know Him.
Yeah.
But that came over time.
Yeah.
And the same thing with God. And I know in my walk as well, I'm sure the same thing with you. Once I started trusting, He takes us deeper.
Yeah.
Deeper into trust and grace. And that's what you're talking about with grace.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And then, Pastor, what do you
Pastor Bobby, just kind of elaborate on that. It says, and will not fear when heat comes. And you said that, you know, it says in the King James, and will not see when heat comes. And that's what we're talking about.
Right, and that's what I was just talking about. When you're looking into Jesus, you know, Peter got out of the boat. Peter said, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come. Jesus is not going to lie. He's not a man that he's going to lie. So he said, come, because it was him. So Peter got out of the boat, and when he was looking at Jesus, he walked on the water. As soon as he looked at the circumstances, as soon as he looked at the storm, he started sinking. But what is so amazing about our God is that even when we start sinking, even when we miss it and start looking at the circumstances, when we look at him, he's going to reach down and pull us out of that water.
You know, I'm blessed that you said that, because this morning the Lord has downloaded something. He trusted God enough to get out of the boat. But the first step was okay, but then he turned away. The wind, the storm, probably the 11 apostles. No, you're crazy. And he turned his head, and he said, oh, good Lord, help me. Started sinking. We trust God. We're saved by grace. So we trust God enough that we're going to heaven.
Yeah.
But do we trust God enough to say, Lord, now take me to my next level of grace. Show me. I'm saved by grace. It's past tense. It's done. It's finished.
Pastor.
Take me to the next level. Now my ministry, my family, my trust in my healing, my trust in you, my payments, my finances, my trust in you. Is the wisdom you're going to give me, so I don't have to lean on my own understanding. We'll talk about that next. Come on.
Yeah, he was talking about that yesterday when we were in the truck. You remember how you were talking about the immediate. If something's far off, like our salvation.
Me and Michelle were talking the other day about how it's easy for people to trust in the Lord for our salvation because that is in the distant future because we're still alive here on the earth. But our bill, if we get an astronomical electric bill, we want to immediately start looking to ourselves for trust. But if he said that I shall supply all your needs according to my riches and glory, if we can trust him for our eternal destiny, how can we not even much more trust him for what's taking place in the now? Because faith is now. Faith is right now.
Hope is for the future.
Yeah, and those who put their trust in the Lord shall hope in the Lord. And so if we're hoping in the Lord, we're hoping for things that we haven't seen yet. And so just because you got that astronomical electric bill doesn't mean that you can't hope for it. And if you don't have hope, you can't have faith. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for. So we can't ever lose hope. That's why the devil wants to make you think that you're in the wilderness, because in the wilderness is where we lose hope.
That's right.
But we're not in the wilderness. We're in abundance. Jesus said, I came that you may have life and that you may have it more abundant.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
And something Lauren Kelly says, Angela Kaufman says, faith is our currency.
It is.
That's what I heard that last week, too. So we got too many witnesses to deny it. And I guess faith is our currency, right? Faith is the hope, right?
Yes.
But again, and I'm glad you brought up the boat, because I was thinking I had to talk about that. But yeah, he trusted Jesus enough to get out of the boat. But he only got one step, maybe two steps, before he started losing focus. And that's where it is. We got a lot of time from now until the Lord takes us home. We need to start having more hope and have faith in that second, third, fourth, and fifth step. Because we're never going to get out of first gear if we don't shift into second gear.
That's the circumstances. Is this the circumstances of this world? And when we have our minds transformed by the Word of God, then that's when we can have that hope and have that faith, no matter what's happening.
Yeah, I read on Instagram a couple of days ago. It said that if we're not constantly renewing our minds, then the world will never mind us. But with a renewed mind, you can cause the world around you to mind you.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
If you want more on that, you can tune into crosswalk.com. I think they'll get come. Pastor spoke on it yesterday. I was there live. Amen. Yeah. Woo, come on now.
Thank you.
It's actually for y'all, thank you. Out there, it's crosswalkbfw.org.
We're going to plug it at the when we get a commercial, right? Okay, good. All right, I think we squeezed this one a little bit. But we encourage you to take these scriptures and write them down, because remember, trust in the Lord, not in man. We're going to tell you some stuff. God will use us to bring people. It's up to you to study this further, because we can't even bring you careful what's going on here. We can just introduce you to these scriptures and pray that you will come and get revelation for yourself of what we're talking about. So we're going to go, I guess, to you want to go into Robert?
Yes.
Unless you guys have anything left to say about Jeremiah.
Let's do it.
All right, ready? We're going to go to Proverbs 3, verses 5. Well, what do you got? I'll just do it for verse 1.
Okay. Proverbs 3, starting in verse 1, the Bible says, "My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man."
Come on.
I mean, we talked about this a little bit last week, where when you honor God, God honors you. God's a giver, not just a taker. And then verse 5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths.
Amen.
Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones."
Hallelujah, man. Hallelujah.
That's good. All
right, well, this is something that I really haven't really come to study and have revelation on. 5 and 6 Proverbs is quickly, because when it says trust the Lord with all your heart, not half, not 10%, not all of it. Don't lean on your understanding. That's the problem that that was the idol of my life. I tried to lean on my own understanding. That was the thing that was put it before me and really truly trusting the Lord. But when we know that he will straighten our paths, and he will, I'm sure I'm speaking for a lot of people when I say we were all walking down a crooked path at one point until we trusted in the Lord. What do you got to say about it?
Well, when Pastor Bobby started reading that, the first thing he says is, "Do not forget my law." And James, it says this, it says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves."
Yeah.
"For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in the mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was." Mm-hmm. Now, check this out. Before we were born again, we were born of the flesh, and so we were flesh. But when we were born again, we were born from above, and we became spiritual. We became born from heaven. And so then we're not just mere men anymore. We become supernatural men.
Right.
And so when we're looking to the flesh, and we're looking to the arm of the flesh for deliverance or salvation or anything that we need, we're going to be forgetful of it. But when we're looking to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, we can't forget what he did on the cross.
Right.
The Bible says, "Don't forget that our sins have been forgiven." When you realize that your sins are forgiven, you can walk in a freedom that only comes from Jesus. And so we need to not forget the law. And the Bible goes on to say that, "But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty," this is a freedom thing.
Jesus,
it says it was for freedom that Christ has set us free. Christ is freedom. And see, I think so many times we get too caught up on being free from alcohol or free from drugs.
Come on, man.
But we're not free from something. We're free to Jesus. We're free to Jesus. And so I just thank God. And that's where understanding comes from. Understanding comes from when you begin to apply the word of God in your life and start walking it out. You'll get understanding of it, and then you'll never go back to the way that you once were.
Yeah.
Because you'll see that it's so much better, that the promises of God are always yes and amen in Christ Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, Lord.
Woo. Come on.
Thank you, Lord.
As far as what we just read, Pastor, really, he really took it to a deeper level with
the Bible. Well, you know, it says in verse 1, "Do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands." And Jesus said, "My commandments are not burdensome."
Oh, yeah.
You know, and you talked about it, I think it might have been last week, how, you know, some people think that if you're going to be a Christian, it's going to be hard.
Yeah.
But it's a total opposite. I mean, it's just like you said, it's freedom. It's, you know, and I think I might have touched on this, but it's hard when you wake up hungover.
Yeah.
When you wake up and your wife is left and taking the children.
Uh-oh.
Yeah,
look
that's
out.
What's hard.
And the dog.
His commandments are not burdensome.
No, they're not.
Understand how much he loves us. You know?
Because when we're walking in his commandments, it's him doing it through us.
Yeah, that's right.
It's no longer us. Like Paul said, it's no longer I that live, but Christ liveth in me.
If we try to do it by ourselves, then we're becoming self-righteous. We can't see. It's not a problem with my hands picking up a beer or doing a bag of drugs. It's a problem. problem is in my heart. If we try to, we don't try to clean up from the outside in, it's never going to work. We're going to be shiny covered but dirty on the inside. We need to clean up from the inside out.
That's, yeah.
That's the true deliverance. And again, I tell a lot of people that it's a surrender to freedom.
Yeah,
that's what it is. It's like with the Iraqi army when in the first Desert Storm, when the Americans came, they didn't have to fire a shot. They were jumping up out of the foxhole, surrendering to the Americans. Some of them were waving American flags. They did not want to be a part of that evil regime anymore.
That's right.
They knew there was more freedom surrendering to the American army than to going back to Saddam Hussein. Come on, now.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah. We're going to get, I think we're going to take a commercial real quick. You guys want to, all right. Come on, radio.
Move away. I'm going to shout your name, hallelujah. Hey,
Eric. Crosswalk Church, come on.
Amazing what's happening in the prisons. And what will happen is when that man gives his life to the Lord or surrenders his life to the Lord, it trickles to the family.
Amen.
Marriages are restored.
Yeah.
Children are restored.
Yes.
Sons are restored to their mothers and fathers. It's just amazing. It's just amazing.
And I want to welcome back our blog radio listeners. Thank you for listening. Yeah. The tail end of a testimony from Pastor Bobby of the prison ministry, and it's amazing, but the devil, he's going to try to take the head, but the head's being restored. And I praise the Lord Jesus for, restoring the family, because that's where those stars are.
The God of reconciliation.
Come on now. Here we go. Yes, we are. All right. So Josh Black tells us, yes, he says that we are not defined by what goes in our mouths, but we are defined by what comes out of our mouths. Just like Angela Carpenter said, where your mouth is, there so is your heart. for your mouth.
Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth
speaking. Come on now, Josh. Yeah.
Hey, son.
That's the
hey, Josh.
Good morning. All right, now.
This is an example of what God will do to restore family.
That's right.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh,
thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus, that time is going to go bad. Man, that's going to be like a 2 hour show. But Pastor Sergio, he says, working with the kingdom, we will be rewarded. If you're working the kingdom. Thank you. It's not why we do it, I believe, because it's in our heart.
Well, yeah. See, the reward is just him.
Yeah, come
so,
on.
Come
he
on.
Is our reward.
You don't even know. Just like we talked about before the break, the
Mark Bearden, one of my old buddies, said I knew the old Bobby.
Come on.
Mark is a pastor, and he got a hold of it a lot sooner than I did.
Thank you,
love you, Mark.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus.
What did you say that you said in the last Bobby? What is it? The guy was walking down the street and he says, oh, but remember the old time? What is it? He said, but it's not I.
St. Augustine.
Yeah, there it is.
Yeah, he was walking down the street, and after he had got saved, before he got saved, he was a womanizer and a drunk. And he was walking down the street, this was in like the 300s, and he's walking down the street, and one of his old girlfriends said, Augustine! And he kept walking. And she said, Augustine, Augustine! And he turned around. No, she said, Augustine, Augustine, it is I. And he turned around and he said, but it is not I.
Come on. Thank you, Jesus.
The old man is dead.
Yeah.
You know you're trusting in the Lord. But they're not even. Woo, they think they know you, but they don't know you anymore.
Yeah, come on now.
Hallelujah. All right.
Hey, Christina.
Yeah.
Good to see you on here.
So remember, we surrender and trust in the Lord, just like the Iraqi army, the first day of the storm, like you were saying before the break. They surrendered to a freedom. They knew that they were probably going to get fed well. They want to probably be sleeping better in the prisons of the American soldiers than back in the barracks of the Iraqi army. So let's say this. To surrender to the Lord is to surrender to your freedom. Why would you not even? Why would you not do it, right? And, but again, that revelation has to come to you, each and every one you watch it. And it's an amazing.
Hey, Joy.
Yeah.
Hey, Naomi.
Hey, that's what I thought. I think we squeezed Proverbs pretty good. You want to get any more out of this, Lemon? it's real simple. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. Your own understanding will be that idol in your life that will block you from God. You're going to start leaning on our understanding. No, we shouldn't even lean on our understanding of the Bible. Let the Holy Spirit give us the revelation and help us, because this will be, that's what we need to do. And let the Lord straighten your paths. Come on now. Bobby, you want to get into Psalms? We're going to, this is a good one right here. I don't know where you want to start.
I'll start in verse 5.
Good.
Yeah. Psalm 84:5. The Bible said, blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on a pilgrimage.
Mm-hmm.
As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring.
Come on.
The rain also covers it with pools.
Ooh, yeah.
They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. O God, behold our shield and look upon the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wickedness. That's just what you were talking about.
Yeah.
The Iraqis, they would rather go to the Americans than be back there in the barracks with the Iraqis.
We'd rather start a
thousand.
Because they dwell in the tents of the wickedness.
Woo! Come on now.
For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk. Upright.
Nothing will he
Blessed
is a man who trusts in you.
Come on.
Well, I could spend all day on this because it was one of my favorite scriptures.
Yeah.
It says up here, it says, whose heart is set on a pilgrim, as they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. That's the desert. And so as they pass through the desert, they decided, you know what, we have a heritage. We're going to make streams in the desert. We're going to make a well in the desert. And so even though it may feel like you're in the desert, you have the living water on the inside of you. The Bible says, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. And if rivers of living water are coming out of your belly, how dare you say that you're in the wilderness?
Come on now.
And so, but here's something that's so awesome about the kingdom of God. Freely we have received, so freely we give. And so as they ventured through the valley of weeping or through the valley of Baca, and they made springs there, what that also did was that also left, those springs were little ponds. They were little ponds that water would come up in. And so now the people that were coming after them would have water in the desert. And see, that's what God has called us to be. He's called us to be living water here in the earth.
Amen.
The Bible says that we are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. And so let your light shine before men that they may give glory to God. And so it's not letting our light shine before men when we're always talking about doom and gloom, when we're always talking about how bad we got it. It's taking the Lord's name in vain.
Yes.
We have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And we shall walk uprightly, agreeing with what he says about it.
Yes.
Amen?
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
No, I never thought about that. Thank you for sharing that, because they left those springs for the people behind you.
Yes, amen.
You better leave something for the people behind you.
Come on.
You know.
Yeah.
It's like people say pay it forward. I just think it's, I don't know, just the way we live.
Yeah.
Once we get God in our heart, because Jesus left it behind for us too.
Come on.
Come on.
So
we have to know, man. Whew.
One day. Check this out right here. It says, the Lord will give grace and glory. The Bible says that God came full of grace and truth. He left that with us. And he also said, the same glory which the Father gave him, he's given to us.
Yeah.
Amen.
Man.
So he left us the grace and the glory.
You know,
how dare we not walk in it?
Come on.
You know, and a lot of people, they feel like they're in the wilderness or in the desert because of something that they did. But when you're born again, I was reading this right here, it says that no good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly.
Yes.
Yeah.
That word uprightly is the same as blameless. And what it is when in Colossians 1:21-22 says, and you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by the wicked works, yet now he is reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight.
Yes.
Wow.
So it's not what we've done, it's what he already did. And when he said it, that also means not guilty.
Come on.
We're all like that one, right? How many times? Not guilty. Like,
The enemy will tell you you're guilty.
Yeah.
The enemy will tell you you're unworthy, but I'm telling you, you have to listen to what Jesus says about you. We talked about this last week with the woman who broke the alabaster flask. And in Matthew, it starts out and said they were at the house of Simon the leper. Well, what you have to understand is Simon wasn't a leper anymore, or they wouldn't have been at his house.
Come on now.
Okay?
Yeah.
But in Luke, the same account of the woman doing it, Jesus said, if this man were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman is touching him.
Yeah.
And Jesus said, Simon the leper. He called him Simon. He's not going to call you by your old name. He's going to call you redeemed. He's going to call you righteous. He's going to call you blameless and not guilty. Faith, which is trust, comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Amen.
In John 1:1, the Bible says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Jesus is the word.
Yes.
You have to listen to what Jesus says about you, not what the world says.
Come on.
I just keep thinking about the desert, you know. And the thing, when people say they're in the desert, it came to me where I was in the desert, but God didn't put me there. I put myself there. It was my pity party. I wanted to be in the desert. I wanted to sit there, go stand in the air and tell everyone, come join me. Come from the spring and the brook and come from the fruit trees and come join me in the desert so we can go stand in the air and feel bad for one another. We need to stop feeling sorry for ourselves because Jesus Christ already paid the price. We need to look and focus on him like we were talking about. I bet Peter felt bad for himself for a split second when it started sinking and Jesus pulled him on the water.
Yeah.
But Jesus saved him.
Right.
So here it is.
You know, we always hear in the world that misery loves company.
Well,
I got news for you today. Jesus loves company too.
Yeah, right?
Get away, from the misery and get into the glory. Amen.
These guys had manna coming out of the sky. They knew that there was nobody that could make little flakes of bread come out of the sky. Manna come from that had to be God. But they still forgot. We need to know that God is waiting for us to stand up and walk out of that. But he ain't gonna take. We need to walk ourselves out. He gave us the strength. He gave us all things that pertain to godliness. So we need to look to him. When we're not getting the things we need, it's because we're not leaning on God enough. We're leaning on our own understanding, and we're in trouble. So we're gonna take that and put that in the bank. You change.
That's our currency.
So what we're talking about is trusting in God. And if you're watching today, know that God wants you to hear what we're saying, because we all need to trust that, not in our jobs, not in our bank accounts. Don't trust in anything but God first, and he will lead you to things that you may trust. That's all it is. Come on. Are we still squeezing on 84? Because that right there was a perfect example of David, who trusted in God.
Yes.
He prayed out, called out to God. And even though being righteous and upright doesn't mean you're perfect. Let's get it straight. You're not perfect. It means your heart is in the right spot. Everything will follow as your heart is in the right place.
Thank you, Jesus.
When you trust in him, put his spirit in you. It's his spirit in us that causes us to walk in his ways.
Amen.
I mean, how easy is that? Just to receive his spirit and let his spirit do it.
Yes.
All we have to do is
say
it.
Praise the Lord.
Blessed is the one who trusts in you, Lord. That's what it says in Psalm 84:12. Write that down and study that. Let's go to Daniel. What do you think? You want to read Daniel about it? Wherever you want to start. You have 20 minutes left.
Well, you know, in Daniel, Pastor, can you expound on what happened? I mean, I was going to read. I know we talked about doing 23, that the king was exceedingly glad. The king didn't want Daniel in the lion's den. You know, when you're a child of God, when you have the favor of God, you'll make even your enemies be at peace with you.
Yeah.
Hungry lions will shut them out.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah. You want to talk a little bit, Pastor? Eric, about the story, how it sets up. It's a true story.
It's a story of faith. Daniel wasn't really concerned about what the world said.
That's
he was
right.
more concerned about being in the presence of the Lord.
Yeah.
And when the presence of the Lord is our concern, I mean, it's like Bobby said, he will make even our enemies to be at peace with you. The Bible says that in his presence is fullness of joy, and at his right hand are pleasures forevermore.
Amen.
Daniel knew that it didn't matter what they said, but if he got up there and began to worship the Lord openly, that his presence was going to come. The Bible says that he inhabits the praises of his people.
Yes.
And so if you can praise the Lord amongst your circumstances,
yes,
he'll bring you out of your circumstances.
That's right. Oh, yeah.
You see, I think we have too many people that are running around and they're praying, God, deliver me, God, deliver me. And if you'll just raise a hallelujah. Talking about Daniel, when Daniel prayed, the angels came to deliver him, but it took him 21 days. But if you praise, God inhabits that, so God's on the scene instantly.
Oh, yeah.
So there's so much power in praise. And I know that in the natural, it's hard to praise God when your bills are falling behind, when you're bound up in alcohol or drugs, or your wife left you or your husband left you. I know it's hard to praise God in those circumstances. But here's the good news. God never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
So just give him glory for who he is. I mean, just thank him that he is steadfast in his love towards you. Thank him that his love for you never changed because your husband left or your wife left or your bills are not paid. His love never changes for you. And if you can keep that mindset, then he shows up on the scene and he pays your bills out of nowhere, and it's just like, my goodness, he is good. And all good and perfect gifts come from the Lord above, in whom there is no variation or shadow of turning.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
All right. Wow. See, there it is. We need to praise God. And look, when something occurs, a problem, you're going to magnify one or the other. You're going to magnify the problem, or you're going to magnify God.
Yeah.
You're going to magnify something, so you better just get away from the problem and start magnifying the Lord, and the problem will be minute, it'll shrink. Because God will come in and give you the wisdom. He'll give you the finance, supernatural. He'll give you send somebody. I mean, I've seen God has done work in every which way. We can't limit what God, how he's going to work with us.
Yeah, and that's why it's so important to remember what God's already done.
Yeah, come on.
I mean, if he shut the mouth of the lion, I mean, can you imagine Daniel after that?
Woo! He didn't go around take a selfie and go look at my God. No, he just was praying and was humble.
The confidence, the faith, and just knowing who God. The lions didn't touch him. He was in there. But it's like you said, Pastor, he was praising. He put God first. He did Matthew 6:33. And this verse right here in 6:23, it says, now the king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatever was found on him because he believed in God.
That one will preach in itself. If you go and read that whole story, everyone knows about Daniel. But I can picture Daniel. They put the rock in front of the den, and he was in it. No one really could actually see. But I can imagine Daniel probably petting the lions, probably leaning on the lion while he's laying down and sleeping with him. The lions had nothing. They were probably friendly to him. The lions might have gave him some food. Who knows?
Well, we read right after that. It says, and the king gave the command. And they brought those men who had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of the lions. Their children and their wives, and the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces before they ever came to the bottom of the den.
Wow.
See, when we trust in the Lord, the men that we thought had the power to do to us or do for us, they will get eaten up by the lions. Right. Amen?
We become untouchable when we are in the Lord. No lions, people, nothing, circumstances, bills, past blessings, nothing will affect you as long as you trust in the Lord. And we need to trust God, though. See, Daniel, he trusted God. Like Peter, the first step, but he trusted God every step. And there was no wavering with Daniel. Daniel trusted in the Lord. He knew that he was just going to, be sleeping with lions that night. He knew, he walked in there knowing that the Lord was with him.
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. The pastor talked about this yesterday as well, how we're hidden in Christ. When we're hidden in Christ, our enemies can't even see us. Those lions, Daniel, that was a type of shadow. Those lions might not even have saw them.
They didn't even tell them.
You know what I mean?
He said there was an angel of the Lord came and shut them out.
Right. Yeah, praise the Lord.
But I would have been an angel. Whatever it takes. And we need to know that Daniel, the good thing is then, knowing we understand that, because he trusted in the Lord his God.
Yes.
He wasn't ashamed. He kept his windows open. That's what got him in the den in the first place when he was praying.
Yeah.
But he knew. He knew the trust in God, not in doctrine of man, and he would go against the king. So he wasn't afraid.
Veronica.
If he was afraid of man, he would have stopped praying for 30 days.
Oh, yeah.
He probably would have whispered somewhere in the wilderness. But God kept him there, and praise be the Lord. So,
Veronica says, "Where your focus goes, your energy flows."
Come on, that's a word
from the Lord right there. Let's shift our focus on Jesus.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
Yeah. Come on now. So again, we're talking about trusting in God. In God we trust. So it's on a dollar bill. And it's funny, things like that. It reminds you on your money to trust in God, not your money. You gotta remind, that's how tough it is. Money, I don't know what, but money is absolutely a great idol in a lot of lives.
Yeah.
And you, Bobby, said the other day about the money, right? Where your heart is, it's always your treasure.
Where your treasure is, there your heart will go. So where you put your credit, I equate it with this. If you were an investor and you invested in Starbucks, for instance, you're going to wake up every morning and you're going to check the market to see how your investment is. So when you invest in the kingdom, your heart's going to go there.
You're going to check it out, wake up and check out the Bible because that's where your heart is invested. Amen. Going to show up to Crosswalk Church on Sunday because your heart's invested in the kingdom. So you're going to listen to people. You're going to tune into things on TV. You're gonna change your focus on things, and it's like if you're working out or you're watching your weight, you're gonna change your diet. We have to change our diet because our diet from before we're born wasn't good. It was junk food. It was full of junk food. It was full of poison. And if we kept going on that path, we would have died.
Yes.
We would have died. But now, praise be to God, that now we're born again. So now it's like showing up, showing up at the gym, eating a good diet. If you got a McDonald's, you have a junk food restaurant here, and you have a health food restaurant here, right next to each other. We get to choose which one we go to.
That's right.
If we keep eating at the junk food restaurant, we're going to be sick. But if we decide to change and go to the health food, we're going to be healthy.
Yeah, amen.
Come on.
That's why pastors talk about being single-eyed. If we're single-eyed and we're looking at Jesus, we're looking at the things of God, then that's what's going to manifest.
Yeah, and, you know, Saxton said on Wednesday night that Jesus, he came that we could eat of him.
Yeah.
I mean, he told the disciples, this is my body, which is broken for you, take and eat.
Yeah.
And this is my blood, which I shed for you, take and drink. And so if we're eating and drinking by communion with Jesus, then we're going to stay full of God. We're going to stay full of the things of God. And when we stay full of that, everything else, it doesn't have any place in it.
That's right.
So what Eddie was saying, I think it's important and imperative that we have a relationship with Jesus.
Amen.
That will bring us out of the wilderness every single time.
Yeah. And you know, when Jesus told them about the, you know, unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you can have no part of me. And it says that some of the disciples left because they didn't understand. It was a hard saying.
Yeah.
But I love what Peter, I mean, I can speak to both of you because I know you and myself, but, you know, we're like Peter. You know, Lord, where else would we go?
Yeah.
You have the words of eternal life.
Yeah, come on.
And, I mean, there's just nothing. You know, he is. What did Saxton say? I wish I could remember. He said, how can you have more than everything?
Yeah, come on.
I mean, that's powerful.
Yeah.
When you have Jesus, you have everything.
Yeah.
How can you have more than everything?
All things were made by him and through him and for him. All things.
You want everything, you need to show up. To the Lord, and that's the
thing. Yeah, and see, I just want to encourage somebody out there that may be going through a wilderness season right now. The thing that Bobby just alluded to is they said that this is a hard saying, but if they would have just took and ate of the body, their eyes would have been opened.
Yeah,
Jesus said that the two on the road from Emmaus, when he broke bread with them and they ate, their eyes were opened to everything that he just told them. And so I just want to encourage you that if you are going through a wilderness season right now, just take of him and eat. Just open up your Bible and get honest with God. If you have a hard time understanding what you read, just say, Lord, I have a hard time understanding the scriptures. I have a hard time understanding what you're saying in here. And he will graciously. See, that's what humility is.
Yeah.
Humility is saying, I don't know everything.
Come on,
humility is saying, Lord, I do have a hard time understanding your scriptures. But you said that the Holy Spirit would teach me.
Amen.
And just ask the Holy Spirit to begin to teach you. He wants to come and dine with you. He wants to spend time with you. And he wants to teach you. He wants to show you of Jesus. The Bible says that he wants to take of what is Jesus's and declare it to you and give it to you. And so I just encourage you to just get alone with the Lord. And if you can't read, just say, Lord, I can't read. I need you to teach me. And he'll do that too. He'll do that.
Get a Bible app too. They read to you soon. You can put a Bible app on. I know people that sleep with the Bible app going and speaking into their spirit while they're sleeping. You know, the Word of God.
Yes. Feed yourself. Feed yourself.
That's right. You better show up to the health food restaurant and you know, put down the junk food, because our eyes and ears are getting into our heart. We need to know what we bring in.
It's going to come out.
It's going to come out one way or another.
It's going
to come out your mouth or somewhere else. So it's going to come out. So,
hey, Kristen.
We need to be aware. And it's not about us. It's not about you or Pastor Eric or Bob. It's not about me. It's not about anyone watching. It's about the next person. Like you said, they left the pools for the people behind them.
Yeah.
We talked about in the prison. We need to don't be standing there jumping the water when someone's drowning when you can't swim yourself.
Come on,
you're going to learn to swim so you can help somebody one day.
That's good.
That's why we all learn to do things so we can help others. I don't know if that's in your heart or not. There was a time maybe I wanted to help myself, then help others. But now I look to help others as I'm helping myself.
Yeah,
amen. Come on now. And that's the way it is. God's going to iron sharpens iron.
Yeah, yeah.
And I know that. We know that. And God ain't going to put you in someone's life without you, both people gonna learn and grow from the situation.
Absolutely.
Do you think you come in and help somebody? No, it's going to be the other way around. Someone going to help you in the same process. Now, we talked about that too, Bobby.
You know, when the Spellmans were here, Mark said
yes.
something that really just it captured my heart, and this is the essence that we should all have when we're ministering to people, when we're talking about Jesus. He said that if he has not provoked you to have a conversation with God about the thing that he was talking about, then he didn't do his job.
Well,
because it's all about relationship. It's all about spending time with him. And so if anything that we say today does not provoke you to want to have a conversation with God, then we didn't really do any good, because
yeah.
it's all about him. We need to be pointing people to Jesus.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. Pastor, you said something just now about get honest with God. You don't have to say some religious prayer.
Come on.
Oh, yeah.
All you have to do is get honest with him. I mean, if you've never even heard of this, we stumbled on this, and you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, and you want to know, how. Myself, 30 plus years of alcohol and drugs.
Yes.
All I did was cry out to him. Lord, whatever it takes. It wasn't a formal prayer. It wasn't anything like that. I just got honest with God and said, God, I'm sick and tired of this.
Yeah, come
and
on.
And man, he pulled me up out of the pit and set my feet on the rocks. And
come on now.
The same thing,
yeah.
So if you're there, you don't have to have some conjured up prayer. I mean, you don't need to. Just be honest with God. And
yeah.
I'm telling you, the Bible says that he wants none to perish, but all come to repentance.
Amen.
That's it.
Amen.
And we talked about this, Pastor, also, but he talked about that Jesus came to give us abundant life. This, I heard it put like this, the gospel in one verse, John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy.
Wow.
Jesus came to give us life and give it to us more abundant.
Amen.
It's that simple.
Yes.
You choose which one you want.
And that's the reason. Jesus is the reason why we're here. And we're not here to promote ourselves or glorify ourselves. We're here to glorify God.
Yes. Yes.
And I believe that, again, you got different verses. You got the healthy restaurant, then you got the junk food restaurant. And the same thing with Facebook. You got the coochie-coochie post, and you got the godly post. We need to know what we're doing. We need to know what we're doing. Again, we're going to get into this probably next week. The co-laboring with God. We're going to do our part. Let God do his part. Don't be stepping on God's toes, because he's not going to step on your toes. We need to stay in our lane. Let God be God and let us be children of God, which is servants. And it's up to us to make these smart decisions. And we need to choose what we're doing. And again, it's all a matter of the heart. So we're going to have to, check our hearts, check our nails.
Yeah. Can I say something real quick? My mother-in-law is on here, and she said, is it okay to ask questions? And it just struck me that Pastor Eric said, my mother-in-law is on here. My mother-in-law is on here.
Woo!
God is a restorer. He'll make you fall in love with your mother-in-law. That's right.
That old cliche goes out the window.
Y'all notice neither one of us said, oh, no, our mother-in-law is awesome.
Yeah, my
mother-in-law's
one of my best friends. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise
Jesus Christ was testimony.
So,
yeah.
So what's your question, Sherilyn?
That's right. Let's have it. It's okay. Everything's okay in the kingdom.
That's right.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
No religion, just relationship.
Hallelujah.
Well, I think we got a few more minutes, but let's just read this last scripture, and then we'll just open it up. Okay, yeah. I'll read it real quick,
yeah.
And it will let you guys talk. All right, right? Romans 15, verses 13. Remember, we're talking about trusting in God and how important it is. And is there going to be stumbling blocks or speed bumps or even brick walls in you? But Romans 15, 13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with the hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Ooh, there it is. All right.
Overflow with hope.
Power. You could use a screwdriver, or you could use a power drill. What do you want to do? Because if we trust in the Holy Spirit, that's the power that we need, the tools we need. Do you still have a caller?
Caller?
You have a caller? Oh, okay.
Hey, Will, good to see you.
Yeah.
What's up, Will?
Hallelujah. All right, so Romans 15:13. I'll turn it over to you, Pastor Eric. Here it is. I don't, the Lord probably put something on your heart.
Well,
you know, he is the God of hope. And so when you spend time with him, hope will arise on the inside of him. And hope is something that I think is, I heard somebody say it one time. They said, hope is the blueprint to faith.
Amen.
And without hope, that you have nothing. There's no way that you can have hope. There's no way you can have faith without hope, because hope is what boosts faith. And so I just want to encourage any of you that are out there that if you've lost hope, you need to get with the God of hope, because when you get with the God of hope, he will give you hope.
Amen.
And then you'll be able to overflow with it by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so I just encourage you all to trust in the Lord.
That's right. Are you able to get that now? A question, Pastor Bobby?
No, I really don't. I'm not that technical, so Sherilyn, I really don't.
Oh, look, Eddie wants something. Is it okay to ask questions?
Yes. No, I think she maybe further
go
down.
Go further down.
Okay.
We're learning this stuff
there
here.
Is. I wonder if we were calling because
we
in.
Have a caller
now. Okay, yeah, we got a caller. You want to take it? Cool.
We'll get you in just a second, Sherilyn.
She might be calling. Who knows? Hey, good morning. Welcome to the men's edition, the mansions. Good morning.
Morning. This is Josh. Hey, I wanted to touch base with what y'all were saying about the going through the wilderness.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, I had been going through the wilderness for about a month, and I was just crying out to God, wondering why. What's going on with me? What am I doing wrong? And as clear as day, he told me, I haven't gone anywhere. You pushed me away because you think you have to do, and you don't have to do anything to get me.
Yeah.
You don't have to do anything to get me. But subconsciously, I was thinking, okay, well, you told me to do this, this, and this. And there I am, you know, subconsciously pushing him away because I don't know how to do this, this, and this. And again, on the power thing, you know, we can't do it in our own power. It has to be his power. It has to be full surrender to him to be able to do what he's telling us to do. And yesterday, I was reading the verse of the day, and it was, right after I read it, he reminded me of Matthew 7:8. And it says, "For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and everyone who knocks, the door will be open." And I actually wrote a little sermon about it, not knowing that it was going to be for me, but I thought it was going to be for someone else, right? So in the sermon, I should have said, I always want to look at Matthew 7:8, but I said everyone always wants to look at Matthew 7:8. But now let's go back, and then they're like, okay, so I asked, but I didn't receive. I looked, but I didn't find. I knocked, but the door wasn't open. But you see, I put an ED at the end of it, not an ING. I didn't keep on asking. I didn't keep on seeking or knocking.
There you go.
And that's what he's saying.
Keep
on asking. So if we're going through that wilderness, if we're going through that slowdown time, keep on asking God what
hallelujah.
Do I need to do? And here's the answer, what it's going to be. It's going to be get down on your knees and surrender. And as soon as we surrender, that slow season or that wilderness, that rock is going to bust. And that lid of water is going to come out of you.
That's
what I mean.
Hallelujah. Good.
Yeah.
When Churchill during World War II, they had a tough in England. A good thing is that if you're walking through hell, keep walking.
That's it.
Yeah, don't stay there. Don't stop and burn. Yeah. Keep walking.
Yeah.
Keep
yeah.
knocking, like Josh Platton just said. Keep knocking. I knocked. I tried. Keep trying.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's right. From our reward. Teaching.
All
right. And that means being consistent, right? Diligent.
Right.
So diligent means to search out and investigate.
Yeah.
Let's see if we can get Sharon's question.
Hey, Les. Good to see you, man.
Hold on. Let's see what we were calling being in the wilderness. Really. They're a minor spot.
Thank you for calling.
That we were being tucked up. What do y'all?
We thank you for the blog listeners. We'll continue on a little bit longer on Facebook. You can tune in live to Facebook. But we thank you for listening, blog listeners, and Morning's the Mansion, Men's Edition, and God bless each and every one of you. I'm here to testify to all of us here, Pastor Eric and Pastor Bobby, that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Yes.
Amen. And love so again, we're going to keep going in a couple minutes here. We're going to try to answer questions on Facebook.
Well, Sherilyn, to answer your question, this is what I just brought off the top of my head. The Bible says that God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So, yes, if there is that sense of pride, God is going to resist us. And so one thing that the Lord has taught me to do is that if I'm not sensing his presence, if he's not answering me, if I'm not receiving from the Lord, and